Well, the Lord has a calling on all of our life. And that's what we're talking about. This series is dealing with the calling. But it's more than a series. This is a season. Amen. If you will notice in the prophetic words that began to... They started back prior to all the way back into November. The prophetic words that were spoken to us was to prepare us to get ready. And it began to say, we're entering into a new season, a new time. And then it said that we all had a responsibility, that we had to prepare for this new season, that we had to get prepared, and then we had to prepare. Now, I'm going to tell you what is going on around the world prophetically. Around the world prophetically, it's never been like this before. They are speaking and declaring another great awakening like the world has never, ever known. God, by His Spirit, is speaking across this world that there is going to come such a great awakening that millions of people are going to be pouring into the kingdom of God. And I believe that's the revival right before Jesus comes too, don't you? I really believe that it is. I believe it's the revival. And what you're experiencing in a lot of your personal lives, you're experiencing that the enemy, the Bible says, he has come down with great wrath because he knows his time is short. He doesn't know the time, and he doesn't understand spiritual things, but he can detect things are happening in the church world across this world. God is preparing for such an unbelievable harvest. Now, we had not a great awakening, but the Jesus movement of the 60s and 70s is where I came in with the Lord. I was birthed at a time and a season where thousands upon thousands were coming to Christ. Danny was a part of that group too that we experienced, and Bill here. That we were birthed into the kingdom as a part of that. I mean, Greg, you know, you remember those areas and those times. It was such, I mean, almost any town, hundreds were coming to God. And it wasn't usually in the churches. We were finding God out on the parking lots, out on little bands on backs of trucks, and them singing about Jesus and giving testimony for the glory of God. But it was an unusual, miraculous. It was something that was so miraculous. It was the world was experiencing this great move of God. But that was a drop in the bucket for what they prophesied fixing to happen. Praise the Lord for the glory of God. So the Lord is not, I say that to say this, the Lord is not just speaking to us, but He is speaking to us. And through the prophetic words that were given to us, He's speaking specifically to us that we have a part, somebody say a part, somebody say I have a part in what God's fixing to do. And so by knowing that, then God's getting everything into place. And so that's why this is so important. That we have a calling on our life. You have a calling. This doesn't have anything to do with my message, but it did have something to do where I was celebrating this morning. If you're celebrating at least a year of deliverance from something, God has delivered you, God has freed you from something, and you're celebrating at least a year, I want you to stand to give praise to the Lord. Why don't you go ahead and stand? And we're just going to celebrate with you just a little bit. Hallelujah! 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 Lord, we rejoice! We rejoice, Lord! We rejoice! We rejoice! Praise God. Thank you. That was part of my personal celebration with the Lord this morning, was thanking God for you. And so I just wanted the rest of everybody to be able to join. But there's a specific calling, and it's a calling to move up. Is a calling to move higher. Now, you can sense it in your spirit. You may not be understanding what's going on. In fact, a lot of the people in this church are not. They're understand as frustration. You're not understand. The thing that's being frustrated is your spirit is being frustrated with your flesh, or your flesh is being frustrated with your spirit. And that's what it is. And so many times, then it takes on because you don't understand the battle of the spirit drawing you and your flesh saying no and your heart saying yes. Whose heart is saying yes? Yeah, your heart's saying yes, see, and your flesh is saying no. But because of that, then you don't know what's going on. And so you're looking at your neighbor and you're saying, oh, it's her fault. And they're looking at you and saying, no, it's your fault. And Lord and behold, it's God's fault. Because God is drawing us to a higher place. And some of us are just still entangled down here. And some of us are still in ropes and chains that we've got to begin to find freedom of, so that we can begin to answer that call that God is doing. And so it's a calling to follow God. That's what this tremendous calling is. It's a sense of calling to follow God. Everybody say, I'm going to follow God. Now we've got to do some specific things. The Lord is, because following God is wonderful as long as you can do it on your little merry-go-round. But following God gets much more serious than that. Following God is going to take the deepest part of your life. And in the process of it, God's going to work in your life. It's the process that is exemplified to us to when Israel left Egypt. And for 40 years, they traveled to the promised land. It's the frustration. It's the frustrating time. It's the season where God's promised me and God's told me, but I hadn't got it yet. Till the time that you get it, or the time that you're able to receive it. It's the time between the promise given and the promise received. Amen. Now, this is an important time. Now, when the Bible talks about this wilderness experience, it talks about it like there's some bad things that's in that wilderness. There are some hard things, some hard times. But God has to put the wilderness experience. It has to be from the time that you receive the promise to the time that you get the promise. This wilderness has to be experienced. Because God is going to strain out of us all of that that will keep us from going into the promise receiving. All that's still there that I want to hold on to, God is going to get rid of who I pretend to be, and God's going to make it who I am. Amen. The Lord's going to deal with my life. Now, during this wilderness, God's purpose, the divine plan of the Holy Spirit, is to bring me closer to God. Or somebody says, give me a Mercedes Benz and I'll get close to God. Or somebody says, give me some sports car and I'll get close to God. Or give me a jet plane. No, you usually get further from God. If you don't have a wilderness experience between the time that you receive the promise and you receive the fulfillment of that promise, if you don't have a wilderness experience, then what God gives you will produce pride, and eventually you'll leave God out of it. So God has to allow this. The Lord has to allow this season, this hard season, this season that says, I don't have a thing to prove it, but I still believe God. Amen. Things are still getting bad, but I believe God. Things don't look like they're going to work out, but I believe God. God has to allow that season, because that's the season that pulls you close to God. That's the season that you get close enough to God to be able to handle the receiving of the promise. So the Lord's at work within us. God's calling us forward. Now what I pray, that it doesn't take 40 years. Or some of us will view it from heaven like Moses did. You understand? The truth of the matter is, the timing is not so much, it is a God timing, but it's as much in my control as it is God's. Because during this season is how much complaining I got in me, how much doubt I got in me, how much frustration I still got in me, how much anger I got in me. The Lord means this to be the season that strains that stuff out of me. Truly, the trip physically from the place that they received the promise in Egypt to the place that they received the promise, but that they received what the promise gave them, was a 2-week journey. If they could have went straight there, but they didn't know where there was. You don't know where there is either, do you? Smarty pants, you don't know where you're going. You're just trusting God's going to be good when you get there. Amen. And the process of it is, it was a 2-week trip. If they would have known, they could have went there in 2 weeks. But they had so much garbage that had to be strained out of them. They had too much self, too much pretending, too much false, too much mask wearing. They had too much of that. And God says, I know how to find out who you really are. So out there in the wilderness, they faced provision. They faced sickness. They faced discouragement. They faced fears. They faced angers. And it was God's plan all the time to get that garbage out. Garbage out, Jesus in. Garbage out, Jesus in. Garbage out, Jesus in. It was the will of God all the time to get the garbage out and to get Jesus in. Amen. Somebody give the Lord praise if you believe that you're going to be one of those that make it. So the wonderful thing about it is we have a power inside of us that they didn't have when the example was given to us. When they traveled through that 40 years experience and through the 10 testings that they went through, when they traveled through that, the power was without. But guess who's got some power within? Amen. As a New Testament believer, God has made you with a power of blame. I'm going to quickly give us some scriptures, then we're going to talk about this. All right. Exodus chapter 19, 5 said, but you shall be for me a kingdom of priests. That's the will of the Lord. Now, this is the Old Testament scripture, but it's always been the will of God. When you see that word priest, you just need to substitute what it means. It means a person that hears for God and shares what they hear. It's a person that hears from the Lord. A person that can walk in their prayer closet in the presence of God. And they quit pretending and they're able to walk into the presence of God and able to hear from the Lord. That's where God's trying to care for one of us. Now, even in the Old Testament, that was the will of the Lord, that God wanted everybody to be able to have that relationship with Him, where they could come into His presence and literally hear from God over their life. That is the will of the Lord. There's three groups of people that are developed in this wilderness experience. The first group is those that hear God. They're listed to us as Levites, which simply means my heart is toward God. The first group, the people that hear God, Levites, my heart is toward God. My heart is toward the Lord. I have a heart toward God. And unless you got a heart toward God, you're never going to hear from God. And they were symbolized in this way. Four priests are people that would go in before the presence of God and hear God and come out and share it. They carried what the Bible called the Ark of His Presence on their shoulders. They led the whole way through the wilderness. The cloud of the presence of God, which symbolic is us, not the Holy Spirit leading in our life. Every day the cloud would move or set. When the cloud was set, nobody moved. When the cloud was set, nobody traveled. I'm going to tell you what, you know, one of the worst enemies every one of us have is that spirit of impatience. If God was going to come through, He would have already come through, some dumb person says. Not realizing that we're under obedience to the Lord. And we've determined to follow Him. So they would get up every day. And they would look. And they would see if the cloud of God's presence was moving. That's what you're expected to do, and I'm expected to do. To every day, I'm expected to be in the presence of God and find out what God's doing in my life. Amen. Every day, God's expecting me to do that. Because there's another group of people right behind the four people that their eyes were on God and was leading them through the wilderness, carrying the ark of His presence. Right behind them, there was a huge group of people. 3 million of them. And they're the group of people that follow God. Now I'm going to tell you, if that's where you want to live your life, honey, you live there. You'll always be sharing somebody else's story, somebody else's miracle, somebody else that God did something for. But that's not the first plan. The first plan for you is that you be the one that's following God, that's hearing God, that's sharing what God's done for you and what God's doing in your life and what God's speaking into your life. You can tell in 5 minutes what group a person is in. Let me share the third group. There's a third group of those that follow the presence of God. The third group is of people, the Bible says, there's this group that gets tired. And they get weary. And they're the group that says stuff like this. She didn't shake my hand. I'm not going to sit around her anymore. Or what's that preacher say that line for? See, that's the third group. The Bible calls them weak and sickly in spirit. They're weak and they're sickly. They don't have strength to even follow people that follow God. They just kind of stumble on. And the Bible says they form a third group. And then the Bible says that's the one the enemy attacks and destroys. Is that third group. There was a group that would come against them. There was a fierce fighting group, enemies of God. They're called Amorites. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of enemies of God. I'm going to tell you, your enemy is not a person. If you think it is, you're automatically in that third group. You hear. But if you see that the enemies of God are the lies that the devil tells you. They're the discouragements that the devil tries to bring on you. They're the tries to steal your faith away. They try to tell you that God will never come through. And some of you have believed those junky lies just like they did. And it's caused you to become weak. And you fall behind those that are following God. And the Bible says those are the ones the Amorites destroy. They're sitting there. These stinking Amorites. Camel riders. And they're sitting there and they're just waiting for that weak group to get far enough behind where the strong group can't protect them anymore. And that weak group, they get in an area of weakness. They stay in that. I'm going to tell you what. There's not a one of us that have not been a part of that weak group at some time in our life. But I'm going to tell you what. It didn't take much of the devil nipping at my toes for me to realize I can't stay here. I'm going to run and catch up with another group that is better and stronger than this group I'm in. Amen. And so that third group. And the Amorites, the Bible says, they're fierce camel riders. And they sit there and they wait and they watch. And they watch you and they watch me to see if we're going to get weak enough to where when they attack us, the other group can't get to us and we're too weak to stand in faith and believe God. So what you got to do, honey, if you're in that third weak group, you better find you a fast donkey. And you better catch up. You hear what I'm telling you? Now, that next group, there is a protection over that next group. The second group I'm talking about. The group that follow people following God. And that's where most of us have spent most of our life. We follow those that have followed God. And so in that group, there is protection. But I'm going to tell you what, the wilderness never ends. Because what God's trying to get strained out of us is the very thing that's keeping us from being close enough to follow God. To hear from God and to walk out. Listen, honey, just get tired of having other people's miracles. Just put your foot down and say, I'll pick to have some miracles myself. I'm going to believe God for God's presence to be in my life. Yes. Amen. You come to a place to where you say, I'm going to believe for this. And then you move into that place of the person that hears from God. Like I said, you can easily tell. You can talk to somebody 5 minutes and find out what group they're in. If you talk to somebody in the second group, they're always talking to you about the journey. It's easy to talk. It's easy to detect in just a few minutes. You can find who's in that third group, the weak group. They're always telling you how hard the journey is, how weak it is. They got a load of problems. They got this many problems. And they've allowed themselves to carry the problem which Jesus never intended us to carry our own problems. Jesus intended us to cast our care over on the Lord. Amen. So when you talk to that third group, they're always talking their problems. Honey, if you're talking your problem, you get you a fast donkey, please. Get it? Get to another group. You're in the wrong group. You're with the wrong people. You're at a place of destruction. Because when the place of separation becomes enough between you and the people that's trusting God, the devil will come in for a kill. You hear what I'm telling you? Amen. Now you can tell the second group. The second group. You can talk to them 5 minutes. The second group, they're talking about the journey. They're talking about, well, God gave us manna. He gave us manna last night. I wonder if it'll be there tonight. And that second group, they're talking about their journey. And they say, oh, yes, I know God has taken care of me in the past. Nita, I know God's healed me in the past. I know God, but will He heal me now? See, that's that second group. But the first group are those that hear from God, and many times on a daily basis. And they share. When you talk to them, they're saying things like, you know what? God gave me this scripture the other morning. And this scripture has been such a strength in my life. You know, when I was praying the other morning, I felt a burden in my heart. And I laid that thing on the altar of God. And when I got up, I had the peace of God ruling in my heart. You hear? You can tell that first group. Because the first group, their language is all based around what God is sharing with them and what they're sharing out about what God is saying. That second group, you can tell them it's all about their journey. It's all about, well, God did this, but I wonder if He'll do this again. And that third group is all about the problem. So just take a little test for yourself and just see what group you're in. And if you're in the wrong group, honey, catch up. Your life depends on it. Catch up. Catch up. Amen. So the scripture is so full about this and the area of following God. And give us the example in the Old Testament. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33, it says, stay on the path that the Lord God has commanded you to follow. Stay on it. Stay on the path that God previously put you on. I mean, sometimes I may go for a month and only have one scripture because I found out I better stay with the last thing God told me until God tells me something again. A lot of times during this wilderness journey, God's going to speak to your heart. And it just comes down to it, honey, where God says, stay on the path I put you on. I told you you could trust me. Why in the world are you doubting? I put you on the path of faith. What are you doing whining? I put you on the path of praise. What are you not praising me for? Amen. There comes a point to where when God puts us on a path, He expects a little self-discipline out of our life. He expects us to gain the power of the Spirit. And see, some of you, the Lord has spoken to your heart. He's told you not to quit pursuing the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You got tired, honey. You got tired in the pursuit. And when you get tired in the pursuit, that automatically moves you down to that third group. Don't do that. If God puts you on the path of pursuing the Holy Spirit, then you get up in the morning pursuing the Holy Spirit. You go to bed at night pursuing the Holy Spirit. You don't break the path that God puts you on. Amen. You've got to do that. Amen. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it says, stay on the path. Galatians chapter 5, it says it this way. Since we're living by the Spirit, since my name has been written down in heaven because the Spirit of God saved me, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. God has a plan. If the Lord's going to move you, if you're going to come into the place of just not being a person that's got a promise, if you're going to become a person that receives a promise, then you must allow the Holy Spirit to the right, the ability, and the awareness in you that He has the right to lead every part of your life. Because see, when we wear a mask, it's the very part of us that we think has nothing to do with what we need. That God knows that's the very thing that's stopping you. You say, yeah, but I want to talk about healing. And every time you talk to God, He's talking to you about that rotten attitude. You want to talk to God about healing. And He wants to talk to you about forgiving somebody. Amen. You got to understand, see, you've got to give the Holy Spirit the right to pursue every area of your life that He so chooses. Amen. You got to let Him do it. He knows what's stopping you. He knows what's blocking you. He knows what's hindering you. The Holy Spirit will lead us to victory. Did somebody say that? I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit will lead us to victory. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit will lead us to victory. I'm going to say it again. The Holy Spirit will lead us to victory. Hallelujah. And He will. He will. If I will allow God to have this driver's seat of my life. Amen. Now, Numbers chapter 9 says, wherever the cloud stayed above the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the people of Israel stayed. You got to quit bawling and squalling about your... Well, I felt called into the ministry 10 years ago and I'm still not doing anything with it. Third group. Bark, 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 bark. Third group. Do you understand what it's saying? But it says here, whether the Lord stayed above the tabernacle for 2 days, for a month, or a year. Do you understand? The people of Israel stayed in the camp. Unless God moves, I don't move. Do you hear that, devil? Somebody needs to tell the devil that now yourself. Do you hear that, devil? Do you hear that, devil? Whatever the devil is trying to say to you about your kids, whatever the devil is trying to say to you about that marriage, whatever the devil is trying to say to you about that finances, you need to start saying something to the devil. And you need to start saying something like this. I don't move, devil. I don't move until God moves. I will not change until God changes me. I will not move unless God is moving me. God told me I could trust Him. Then right here is where I'm camping. You say it's been 10 years. I'm going to tell you something else, Mr. Devil. I don't care if it's 11 years. God told me I could trust Him. I'm going to stay here until God moves this thing for the glory of God. Why it's so important? Why it is so important? Some of our victories will never take place unless intercession goes through. Intercession is that moves boulders that are bigger than you can move. And so the Holy Spirit brings intercession. What you need to do is this. Somebody says, Jerry, nobody's praying for me. Well, let me tell you first, that's a lie. Jesus is in heaven praying for you right now. You hear? And that Holy Spirit, if you will allow Him, will forever intercede through you. But intercession is this. It's when you shared, God told me this would not take me out. God told me this would not take me out. And you're standing in that strong declaration. But you've been standing, and now that thing begins to be pushed back. All of a sudden, God brings people around you. They're not praying for you, they're praying with you. The problem with people's miracles is they're praying for you instead of praying with you. Now, I have an old riding lawnmower. I mean, it's an old rascal. It was old when Cricket bought it for me. And so Cricket bought it through my house. And if you know about my house, we're usually about 6 inches underwater in the yard. I mean, I live in a low place. And so when I'm on that riding lawnmower, I'll get to places where the terrain will get treacherous, almost like a wilderness. It will get treacherous. And all of a sudden, that old wheel just began to turn. Well, what I do, I say, Elaine, come here. Elaine, come here. And so what I'll do, I'll be behind it pushing, and Elaine will come up, and she will begin to push with me. And that's what intercession is. It's not somebody pushing for you. It's somebody pushing with you against something that you haven't been able to move by yourself. But I'm going to tell you what, being in the mully grubs, being down in the dumps, that don't move anybody to pray with you. They're afraid that stuff will get on them. It keeps people praying for you. You can never have an intercessor. God brings intercessors into people's lives that just hit a rough terrain. They just need a little push. They need somebody to get behind the tractor with them and give a little push to move it forward for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. So you got to know that the Lord wants, there's a reason it's important that you hear from God and you share. Sister, looks like you've been going through this quite a while. You don't understand what God's told me. And all of a sudden, see, there's two things you got to have if you're going to get your miracle. Number one, you got to have peace. Now, you got to have faith. But two things are coming at. You've got to come to a place where you're at peace. Peace is, I know. I know who I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. You got to have peace. Your faith is not really working until you get peace. Whatever it takes in that situation, whatever battle it takes, you got to get peace over it. And peace will quit the bawling and the squalling and the slinging snot. You understand? Peace will be upon you. And no matter how rough what you're facing is going through, peace has a settledness. And all of a sudden, if you're the one that's in the situation, God's looking at not other people to have peace for you. He's looking for you to have peace in it. As you have peace in that situation, then you can keep a smile on your face. Because, see, peace comes through believing. The way you have peace, when you're not having peace, you're not believing, honey. You're not believing. You don't believe God's going to work it out with those kids. You don't believe God's going to come through for you. You don't believe God's going to bring. And see, the only way you're going to have peace is that you're going to believe. And then to have peace, you have to fight for peace. The Bible says you have to let peace rule. See, everything else is going to try to rule you but peace. I mean, anxiety, fear, frustration, all that's going to try to rule. But what you have to do, you have to... I'm going to keep my peace. I'm going to keep my peace. And you allow the peace of God to be upon you. You don't want to answer people when you're not in peace. You don't want to speak out when you're not in peace. There's only one thing. When you recognize you're not in peace, you want to take the biggest clothespin you can find and put it over those biggest part of your lips that you can find. Because you want to make sure that what you're going to speak, that you're going to speak your faith in God. And so before you take that clothespin off, you check it. And you see if I got peace. Peace has nothing to do with the storm. But peace always has the power to shut down the storm. Peace is something you always have before the storm or before the storm stops. It's when it's howling the loudest, you determine, I'm going to let this peace rule me. I could let frustration rule me. I could let anger rule me. I could let a lot of things rule me. But I choose to let peace rule in my heart. And then the next thing you got to have, there's got to be two things there before you know your faith is going to be effective. And usually these come right prior to the miracle. The other thing is joy. Because joy is not based on what you have. Joy is again based on what you believe. That's why you can have the joy of the Lord in the hardest of situations. In the hardest of crisis, you can have the joy of the Lord. And when you get that faith operating into that way, to where you say, Lord, I could handle this in a lot of different ways, but I'm choosing to let peace rule my heart. I could be worrying about it through a lot of different ways, but I'm choosing to let peace quieten my heart. And Lord, I refuse. Someday I'm going to learn to sing. You're going to think you got a real passion. Until then, I just play with it. I just love tormenting the devil. I'm going to have joy. Whatever I'm going through, I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have joy. You, oh devil, you can't put my hands down. You can't put my hands down. You can't put my hands down. And oh devil, you can't wipe the smile off my face. You can't wipe the smile off my face. You can't wipe the smile off my face. You can't take my joy. 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 I love what Jerry Savelle wrote a book years ago. I love the title of that book. And the title of that book is, If You Can't Get My Joy, You Can't Keep My Goods. I believe that. If he can't get your joy, he can't keep what he's tried to take away from you. So he may have tried to take your health away. He may have tried to take your children away. He may have tried to take your marriage away. He may have tried to take your satisfaction in life away. He may have tried to remove your financial security. But if he can't take your joy, he can't keep your goods. If he can't get your joy, he'll have to return to you. Sevenfold, the Bible says. Sevenfold for the glory of God. So as I face this and walk through this, and we'll be talking about it again tonight, what characteristics of this group that's in front, what are those four? One of the greatest characteristics of that group is they follow God. And the way they know they're following God is because God is speaking to them. God's given them a scripture. And they're believing it. Amen. And they're believing it to the point to where they have peace no matter what they're facing. And they've just refused to let the devil take their joy. Because they know that that peace and that joy is going to bring them into a bountiful harvest of the Lord. You know, joy is harvest. You know that, don't you? Until you have joy, you don't have a harvest. You don't have a harvest coming. You don't have a harvest of healing. You don't have a harvest of help. You don't have a harvest of encouragement. Because joy is the way you gather in the harvest. With joy. Amen. It's with joy. So weeping may have endured for your night. And weeping may have tired you. And it may have pressed you back into that third group. And there's no peace there because it's the dangerous place, man. It's the place that, man, I'm critical. I'm judgmental. But as long as I'm there, I'm in a place where the devil can attack me. So you go to Eric and you say, Eric, you got a good donkey? Can I buy one that'll really travel? Monica, you got a donkey I could buy? Oh, his name is Eric? Okay. Okay. And you say, Lord, I'm fixing to change this space. All that space that's come between me and you, I'm fixing to cover it. I'm going to gain ground. I'm going to move forward for the glory of God. I'm going to get up close, Lord. Then let me leave you with this scripture. God gave us the promise, absolute promise. It starts off with a big question mark, Earl. It starts off, it says, if you will draw close to me. That if, I wish God wouldn't have put that there. But he knew us, see. He knew some are going to be so dumb, they're just going to stay in that third group. And they're going to be prime attack for the devil. Some are going to be in that second group. Never really finding fulfillment of closeness with God. But he said, if. Because if also tells me there's people that won't, but it tells me there are people that will. Amen. If I will draw nigh to God, God tells me absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt, he said, I will get close to you. Amen. He said, if you will get close to me, I will get close to you.
Somebody says, sitting there says, our head says, I don't know how to get close to God. Wish I knew. There's always going to be people that watch people as they get close to God. But God gave you the Holy Spirit. And the major job, the one of the greatest things the Holy Spirit God does in our life, He draws us to Jesus. So you may not know in your noodle up there, but your heart knows. Your heart knows. Your heart knows. There is no excuse, because your heart knows. So all you have to do is say, Lord, precious Holy Spirit, help me get close to Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me. Now, there's some that we need to get all on the same playing field before we close here today. That means we all need to get on the same scrimmage line. So what that means is this. There's some that need to ask God to forgive you. When you ask God to forgive you, it puts us all on the same playing field. We all have the same opportunity to get close to God. I want you right now, if you say, Jerry, I need to ask God to forgive me, I want you to stand right where you're seated. I want you to just stand up. Don't be bold with your sin, but don't hide your sin. Be real. Be real. Be real. Be real. Be real. Lead you in prayer. We're going to all be on the same playing field. Same playing field. We're going to all be on that same line. We're all going to be on that same line then. Let's do it. Let's do it. Father, in Jesus' name, I've messed up. I've failed. But I ask your forgiveness. And I receive by faith today, Lord, the forgiveness of the Lord. And I believe from this moment forward, they're gone. It's gone. That was written against me is gone. Because, Lord, it's been covered in the powerful blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit. Lead me in, Lord. Lead me in, Lord. Lead me closer. Lead me in, Lord. You know me and you know God. So, Holy Spirit, lead me in closer. Lead me in closer. Lead me in closer, Lord. Lead me in Jesus' name.